At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at bragworthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Welcome to Face Connecticut, an in-depth look at today's issues.
Hello and welcome to Face Connecticut. I'm Morgan Cunningham on WTIC News Talk 1080, Light 100.5 WRCH and 96.5 TIC. Hartford's former mayor, Luke Bronin, has announced in the past week that he's looking to unseat incumbent Democratic Congressman John Larson in the 1st District in the election cycle next year. Larson, who's held on to that seat since 1999, and this would make Bronin now the third Democrat to announce that he is looking to get that seat in the election next year. Welcome to the show, Mayor.
Thanks so much, Morgan. Good to be with you.
Well, it was certainly an exciting announcement for you this week and a big one. A lot of people had been wondering about your political future after you left the mayor's office in Hartford. What led up to this decision to run, and how long did you think about this?
Well, you know, look, I've been talking with people all over this district for many months, and I've heard from a lot of people that they're frustrated with where the Democratic Party is, that they would like to see some big changes. And I've had a lot of people ask me to think about running for this seat. But look, I have tried throughout my career to do work that it felt like made a difference, right? I mean, I served in Afghanistan. I worked in the Obama administration and was the mayor of Hartford for 8 years. And at this moment, with everything that's going on in our country, I just came to the conclusion that I think that I can make a difference for our country and for the Democratic Party by being what I hope is a clear and aggressive voice down in Washington.
A number of people had thought, Mayor, that you were going to run for governor in Connecticut. Why didn't you?
Well, look, first of all, as you know, I've been focused on state and local issues for the better part of a decade. You know, I was the chief legal counsel to our prior governor for a couple of years and then did 8 years as mayor. And so focused a lot on those issues in our communities at the state level. But over the last year, the world has changed. You know, the biggest threat coming to our democracy, to our economy, to middle class families is coming out of Washington right now. And it just became increasingly clear that things down there are broken. You know, this bill that they just passed, I think, is one of the worst pieces of legislation in American history. It slashes health care, Medicare, veterans care, all to give tax breaks to the wealthiest Americans. It's craziness. And I want to see a Democratic Party that is pushing back forcefully against that and also laying out a really clear vision for where we want to be as a party. And so I just came to the conclusion that this is where I can best serve.
I remember going to some events where you had held a press conference and Congressman Larson was there, and it would appear as if you guys had a decent working relationship at one point in time. Does that make this awkward for you, or how do you balance past work with Larson and now running against him?
We had a great working relationship, and let me just step back and say I have an enormous amount of respect for John Larson. I have a huge amount of admiration for everything he's done down there for the last nearly three decades. But I do think that at a certain point, it's time to let some new voices in. And if the last year isn't a wake-up call for the Democratic Party that we need to start doing things differently and we need to start seeing some passing of the torch and some new voices, I don't know what will be. And I'm really worried about the state of our party. And, of course, I'm really worried about the state of our country right now.
It's interesting to see what's happening here, not just in Connecticut, but, of course, nationally, particularly on the Democrat side, where you're having multiple candidates emerge for multiple different races. And the first district in Connecticut is no different. You're running, obviously, to challenge the incumbent, John Larson, as well as two other Democrats. And there's word that a fourth might be joining into that fray before too long. One Republican, I'd also mention, has announced that they want that seat as well. So talk a little bit about this process here very early on, where you're seeing a lot of competition where in the past there hasn't been competition for Larson's seat.
Well, you know, again, if we learned anything from the last year, and what happened with President Biden, I think it's that we should want to have more competition. You know, we should embrace competition. The heart of democracy is competition. So we can't say that we're a party that's all about democracy and not say we want to give voters a choice. So I think voters deserve a choice, and that's why I got in. And I think that anybody who wants to put out their vision and add their voice should do it. And that's what this process is all about. And, you know, we're at a time when so many people have lost faith in democratic institutions, in our institutions of government, in the process. And we have a lot of work to do to acknowledge that things are really, really broken and that we're serious about fixing them. But part of that is saying we welcome a competition of visions and voices. And again, that's what democracy is all about.
My guest on Face Connecticut this morning is former Hartford Mayor Luke Bronin, who has just recently announced that he is looking to unseat incumbent Democratic Congressman John Larson in Connecticut's 1st District. That would be the greater Hartford area, basically. So if we're seeing that there's competition emerging very early on for this seat, where do you begin in the race?
Well, I've spent, as you know, I think, Morgan, even when I was mayor, I mean, for 8 years, I spent a lot of time working to engage communities all around the city. I believe deeply that this is a region that rises or falls together. I mean, the truth is, in most other parts of the country, Hartford and the 27 towns that make up this district would probably be one city. And so I spent a lot of time out in those communities, building relationships, trying to make the case that we all rise or fall together in this region. And in those conversations, in addition to building those relationships, you know, I've gotten the very, very strong sense that people do want to see some new representation, that they want to see some change. And so the first thing I'm going to be doing is just building on that work and continuing to go out and talk with voters, talk with residents all over this district, listen, and then share what I think we need to be doing. And what I think we need to be doing as a party is, first of all, saying we will fight like hell to stop Donald Trump. I mean, it is clear that his administration and his leadership is defined increasingly by corruption and increasingly by cruelty. And we have to stop that. We also can't just be about stopping Donald Trump. We got to lay out a clear vision for making life easier and better and more affordable for the middle class. I mean, we're the richest country in the world. And it shouldn't feel so hard to live a good middle-class life. And the Democratic Party needs to be laser-focused on that work. So as I see the campaign, it's about getting out there and laying out that vision. Obviously, you got to do all the other stuff, too. You got to raise money to get your message out. You got to get out there and build an organization. But I'll tell you, the energy that I feel out there for change makes me really confident about our ability to build a very, very strong organization all through the district.
Let's talk for a moment about the money aspect, because Larson, as we've indicated, he's been there for almost three decades now. He has a lot of established money and regular donors, perhaps, who have been working with him and supporting him for years and years. And you're, you know, a newcomer at the congressional race level, but not necessarily a new name in the greater Hartford area. But one thing that we know is that politics have become pretty unpredictable. You could get a candidate that the party endorses and they lose at a primary. You know, is money a big deal here, or is something else driving not only your campaign, but politics in general?
Well, let me start with one of the last points you made. I think you got to expect that the establishment is going to rally around the establishment, right? That, you know, that you're going to have a bunch of people, you know, national leaders of the party who are going to say, we support John. And I expect that. But the reason that I think that doesn't bother me very much is I don't think voters care all that much about that right now. Voters want to see change. Democratic voters want to see change in the Democratic Party. They want to see the energy and the urgency that we need right now. In terms of money, look, you're right. John raises a lot of money. He's raised a ton of money from corporate PACs. I mean, most of his money's actually come from corporate PACs. I'm sure he's going to do all that. We need to raise enough money to get your message out, and I am confident we're going to do that. We had a really strong, even just 24 hours after launching, we were able to raise $500,000. Now, I'm sure, again, John's going to turn on his fundraising machine, and he's going to raise a bunch more, but we're going to stay at it. And I am confident we'll have enough resources to get the message out and give the voters a choice. The other thing I'd say is, you know, I've talked to a lot of people who have been supporters, including donors to Congressman Larson for many years, who sort of feel the same way that a lot of voters do and that I do, which is respect John a ton, but just feel like it's time.
There are some people who have come forward critical that one of Larson's biggest issues is Social Security, and not that it's not an issue, but it's not something that is immediately going to get a vote on in Congress. Where do you stand on that issue? Because he'll be talking a lot about Social Security, one might expect, on the campaign trail, and people might wonder where you fall on that particular issue.
Look, Social Security is hugely important. I will be a fierce defender and protector of Social Security. I want Social Security to be there not just for folks who are collecting it right now. I want it to be there for me. I mean, my daughter just got her first job this summer. I want it to be there for her. Most people don't believe that it's going to be there for them, and I want to make sure that we are fighting to keep Social Security strong for forever.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at brag-worthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
It's worth saying, though, that you know, this is the issue that Congressman Larson talks the most about. He's been working on a particular bill for about 15 years, and it hasn't gone anywhere. And I think there's no real, you know, near-term likelihood that it's going to go anywhere. So I think that there's just no question. Probably any Democrat in this seat is going to fight for Social Security. I'll tell you, I'll fight like hell for Social Security, for strength and protection. But we got to look at not just, you know, what are people saying, but what's the record of actually getting some things done on that?
And it's not just Social Security either. I'd also point out that one of the more bigger buzzwords that's come up in the last at least 6 months, Medicaid, also Medicare.
Yeah, because, you know, the Trump and the Republicans in Congress have made clear that those things are on the table. Those things are on the chopping block, even after, you know, saying that they were never going to be on the chopping block. So, yeah, those are places we need to be ready to fight. And that's why I think it's really important that a member of Congress can't just be about one issue, no matter how important. We have to be focused on all of those threats. And beyond that, look, if you talk to most people around the district, in addition to those things that we're just talking about, they're feeling that the combination of housing costs and healthcare costs and childcare and electricity, it just makes it unmanageable. Even if you got two incomes, it just feels unmanageable. And so as a party, we need to be talking about those things too, and not just talking about them, but showing that we're working every single day to make the bigger things more manageable and more affordable.
I'm Morgan Cunningham. This is Face Connecticut. If you're just joining us, I'm having a conversation with Luke Bronin. He's the former mayor of Hartford, who just recently announced that he is going to be seeking to unseat incumbent Democratic Congressman John Larson in Connecticut's 1st District, Greater Hartford. Here's an issue, Luke, that's pretty unique to the 1st District, and that would be Pratt & Whitney. It's about jobs. It's about defense. It's kind of similar to the 2nd District with EB and Congressman Joe Courtney, who's often working to secure contracts for EB and protect those jobs. Where do you fall on issues related to Pratt?
Well, first of all, I mean, I will fight to make sure that we have as many good-paying jobs with good benefits as possible in this district, and that includes those jobs at Pratt & Whitney. It also includes all the jobs in the supply chain. You know, we've got a lot of advanced manufacturing companies that are in the aerospace manufacturing supply chain that are in this district, and I think it's critically important that that we work to make sure that they are strong and creating and growing those jobs here in this district. I mean, look, I think, you know, a lot of my background before I came back to Connecticut was national security. You know, I was a Navy intelligence officer, and I served in Afghanistan. I ran the Office of Terrorist Financing and Financial Crime at the Treasury Department, sort of one of the key national security offices at the U.S. Treasury Department. I believe in a strong national defense, and I think we've seen, especially with what's happening in Ukraine, that we need to make sure that our industrial base remains strong, that our capacity to manufacture what we need remains strong. So that's work that I feel very, very prepared to do.
Thinking back to that strike that recently happened at Pratt & Whitney, it was a 3-year strike. They ended up approving a new 4-year contract, but from time to time, those kinds of issues come up. If it were to come up while you're congressman, although it probably wouldn't be in your first term as congressman if you were elected next year, probably your second since it's a 4-year contract. But in any case, if it were to come up or there was another dispute involving Pratt & Whitney and a strike, where would you fall on that issue? What would you do? How would you address it?
You know, I was proud to stand on that line with the machinists over at Pratt & Whitney, and I would be proud to stand with them again. I also think that we, at the federal level, we have to make sure that we have the right protections for the right to organize and for the right to bargain collectively at the federal level. Because one of the challenges for Connecticut is you got these states, you know, South Carolina, plenty of other states, where they don't pay good living wages. And that means there's always the threat that jobs are going to be moved from Connecticut to one of those places. So yeah, I'm going to work hard to stand with our, you know, machinists and everybody who's working in those jobs here. But a part of protecting those jobs is making sure that there's a fair playing field. And that means making sure that at the federal level, we're serious about things like supporting the PRO Act. We're serious about things like protecting the right to organize and collectively bargain.
Let's shift over to another topic that has gotten a lot of attention in Connecticut in particular. Not that it hasn't come up in other parts of the country, but I know that this has been a hot button issue in Connecticut, and that would be housing, affordable housing. People who work 2 jobs, good paying jobs, and they still struggle to find places to live, not just in Greater Hartford, but this is across Connecticut, and Fairfield County is different from Hartford, and Hartford's different than Windham County. But in your district, which is the 1st District, what would your approach be to housing issues? And is there anything that you can take from your mayoral experience to bring to Washington or to bring to the state level in Connecticut?
Yeah. Yeah, I think you know that housing has been one of my the issues that I'm most passionate about for a long time, because it affects everybody. I mean, if you look across the state of Connecticut, there were 5,000 kids in public schools who were homeless over the last year. As you said, kids coming out of school, even kids coming out of four-year colleges, they can't find a place to live, house or apartment. The age for buying a house has gone up from the late 20s to the late 30s, and it's rising faster. Seniors who want to downsize and stay in their communities find it almost impossible to do that. So this is an issue that cuts across everybody, every age group, almost every income group, and it's a huge quality of life issue for our state. Because at a certain point, you know, as I've been going around and talking with folks, especially, you know, folks who've got kids or grandkids, at a certain point, what quality of life issue matters more than being able to live near your kids or your grandkids? And we are increasingly a state where you just can't do that. So I think this is really important. As mayor, I think you know I focused on it. We got thousands of units of housing built in a city that hadn't seen anything like that kind of growth for a long time. And I hope that continues and accelerates. As a member of Congress, I'll be working really hard to make sure that we're putting the resources we need into expanding that housing. You know, the federal government used to be way more involved in promoting home ownership, in helping to provide financing for new housing construction. And right now, the Trump administration is going in the wrong direction. So that's something that I am eager to get on the playing field to work on.
What about your contacts in other states? And by that, I mean, in Washington, you've got to have allies, and not just within your own party, but also some ability, at least, to work across the aisle, even to some degree. While you might disagree on many of the key issues or some issues that come up from time to time, you might find some commonalities or some concessions that can be made at times, and that's key, the negotiation skill. What contacts might you have in other states that could be beneficial to your work in Connecticut?
Well, first of all, I mean, just in terms of style, Morgan, I was mayor for 8 years. Fundamentally, the job of a mayor is to be a problem solver, right? It's to work with anybody and everybody you can to try to fix things that are broken. And that's what I try to do as mayor. That's what I will do as a member of Congress. But also did a lot of that work, working across the aisle. I was for 2 years, I was president of the Connecticut Conference of Municipalities. That includes the heads of, the municipal CEOs from every town in Connecticut, Republican, Democrat, city, suburb, small town alike. And that job was all about building coalitions to try to make sure that we were advocating around the state on issues that mattered to our communities. Got a lot of experience working with people who I may not agree with on every issue. In fact, I may disagree on most of them. But the job is to find places where you can find enough agreement to move some things forward. And I also did some of that work nationally. You know, I was on the advisory board of the U.S. Conference of Mayors, again, an organization that had membership from all kinds of communities across the country, Republican-led and Democrat-led. And we're proud of the work that we did there. So I'm looking forward to doing that. I will say I will be a forceful and aggressive voice to stand up to what the Trump-led Republican Party is doing to undermine the rule of law. I think in many ways to undermine our Constitution, increasingly defined by corruption and abuse, and I will fight like hell on that. But on those issues that I'm talking about, where it's about making life better and more affordable and healthier, I'll partner with anybody who wants to help get that done.
I'm Morgan Cunningham, and this is Face Connecticut. And my guest this week is Luke Bronin, the former mayor of Hartford, who has just announced recently that he is looking to run for Connecticut's first district, which would ultimately unseat incumbent Democratic Congressman John Larson if victorious in next year's election. How big is social media going to be for you? Because it's interesting, in the last, especially year or two, so many politicians have shifted to social media in so many different ways. Look at our president. He has his own Truth Social platform. But in your case, you have made your announcement on social media that you're running for Congress, and I saw it on X. It had just dropped. So how are you using social media?
Well, it's the way people communicate and the way people get their information has totally changed. And if we're not changing with it, then we're crazy. So I'm going to be getting my message out everywhere and anywhere I can. You know, one of the things I'm also kind of excited about is that for a long time in politics, everyone said politics is all about the soundbite, right? You never get a chance to say more than a couple words. It's just the soundbite politics. I actually think that that's changed a little bit. And social media has actually helped to change that a little bit. The podcasts that are out there have helped to change a little bit. You can actually have the opportunity to sit down and not give a five-second soundbite, but actually talk about what you think about something and have a real conversation and maybe even try to persuade somebody about something. And I'm excited about that. And that's the kind of communicating that I think maybe we as Democratic Party have not been doing enough of, have not been as good at. I'm excited about the chance to have those kinds of conversations in every venue possible.
Luke, I've appreciated your time in our conversation this morning. And I think that we'll have more conversations as the next year progresses and as we follow your candidacy as well as the First District race and other races, too, I'll point out, in Connecticut. What should people know now in our final moment together that maybe we didn't touch on yet?
Well, first of all, you know, I hope people go to BroninForCongress.com and check out the website, and I'd be hugely grateful for your support. But maybe to leave you with this, Morgan, the world has changed so much since 1998, when Congressman Larson was first elected. And the changes right now are getting faster. They're not slowing down, right? The changes, whether you're talking about climate change and crazy weather that we're seeing, whether you're talking about technology and artificial intelligence, whether you're talking about the changes in our economy, or like we were just talking about, the changes in the way people communicate. And yet, changes in who represents us and changes in our political institutions feel like they're happening slower than ever. This is a moment when we have to be willing to make the changes we need to make. And that's ultimately why I'm running. So I look forward to many more conversations, and I look forward to talking to as many folks out there as possible over the next year ahead.
Face Connecticut is a production of the News and Public Affairs Department of WTIC Radio.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today. And live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
Game day or any day, your fit says it all. Hit up MLBShop.com for the latest jerseys, caps, hoodies, and accessories to keep you in the game all year long. Rep your team, rep your city, rep yourself. Gear up and game on at MLBShop.com, the official online shop of Major League Baseball. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Quality sleep isn't just about how long, but how well you sleep. And science proves temperature plays a massive role. ChiliPad by SleepMe is a precision temperature-controlled sleep system that cools or warms your bed so you can sleep hard and recover harder. And it's not just for pro athletes. Just set your temp from 55 to 115 degrees, and ChiliPad does the rest. Visit sleep.me and use code SLEEPCOOL20 for 20% off your first ChiliPad. That's SLEEP.me for 20% off your ChiliPad. This special offer expires September 30th and cannot be combined with other offers.